Good evening.
I welcome to my presentation on high temperature stress causes ultrastructural changes in leaves and pollen grains leading to lower photosynthesis and pollen germination in sorghum. Soybean is an important legume crop which is grown under varied environment. High temperature stress is an important abiotic stress which limits yield under arid and semi-arid regions. Current climatic model predicts that high temperature stress, that is, the global mean air temperature will increase from anywhere from 1.3 to 5.8 degrees centigrade. If that particular high temperature stress occurs during reproductive stage, then there will be a good impact, that is, an adverse effect on yield. And earlier study showed that high temperature stress in soybean causes premature leaf senescence and pod abortion. And this premature leaf senescence comes through a reduction in the photosynthetic rate, and this pod abortion comes from pollen germination. However, the exact mechanism which explains what is happening in the leaf photosynthetic rate and the pod abortion, that is the pollen, is not clearly understood. It may be due to an anatomical and ultrastructural changes in the leaf and the pollen which may contribute to the lower yield. Hence, the study was formulated the following objectives and hypothesis. Our hypothesis is high temperature stress causes ultrastructural changes in the leaf and pollen grain, resulting in decreased photosynthesis, pod set, and seed yield in soybean. Our objective is to quantify the effect of high temperature stress during flowering stage on anatomy and ultrastructural changes in leaf and pollen grain, and to determine the effect of high temperature stress on leaf photosynthesis, pollen function, and seed yield. Hence, the study was conducted with a genotype KS032789. And this genotype was grown in a greenhouse at a temperature of 2818 from sowing to flowering, that is R2 stage. Then at R2 stage, those plants were divided into two groups, and one group was transported to a growth chamber which was maintained at a growth temperature of 2818, that is daytime maximum and nighttime minimum, and another group was transported to a growth chamber which was maintained at a temperature of 28 degrees centigrade. And the photo period was 16 hours, and the relative humidity was set at 85. And the stress duration was 14 days. During the 14 days, the following physiological triads and anatomical triads and the carbon isotope discrimination and sugar analysis was done. The physiological triads, namely the chlorophyll content, pH2 photochemistry, and photosynthetic rate and stromatal conductance was recorded. Chlorophyll content was estimated by using SPAD, and pH2 photochemistry was quantified by using modulated fluorescence. And photosynthetic and stromatal conductance was recorded using Leica 6400 on 2, 6, and 14 days of high temperature stress. We have used a fully expanded top third leaf as a physiological indicator of the plant, and we recorded all the stuff on the particular leaf. And the leaf anatomy was recorded on 10 days after stress. The anatomy in sense, we just collected the leaf and we immediately fixed in the glutaraldehyde. Then we just transported to lab. Then we made a section using vibrotome less than of 200 nanometers. Then we looked at laser scanning confocal microscope, and each slices were made at 1 nanometer, and we made 20 slices, and we staked together to look at the thickness of upper epidermis, lower epidermis, palisade layer 1, palisade layer 2, so that will give the total idea about what is the leaf thickness. Then we looked at the number of stomates and the stomatal diameter. And coming to pollen, on the 7th day after stress, we just collected randomly 20 flowers, and the pollen was transported to the lab, and it was air dried for 1 hour, and the pollen was dusted on the medium by using a camel hair brush. At the same time, some other portion of the pollen has been fixed in the glutaraldehyde. Then it was transferred to acetone series for dehydration, then fixed it in resin. Then we made microtome, a section thickness of less than 100 nanometer. Then we use that section to look at transmission electron microscope to look at what are the ultrastructural changes which happens in the pollen. Then for the carbon isotope discrimination, that is, we wanted interested to know. We all know that Dowd stress has discriminated heavier isotope C13, whereas the same concept works in high temperature stress. So we collected the leaf on 10 days of high temperature stress, and we ground it, and we just took 15 milligram, and we measured the C13 and C2 levels by using mass spectrometry. And then the seed, we just used the seed at harvest, and we quantified C13 and C12 levels. At the same time, we are just interested to look at what happens to the leaf sugar profiles. So we just used HPLC, and we just collected the third top leaf from that, sorry, third top fully expanded leaf on 10 days after stress, and you just immediately put in ethanol. Then the, from the supernet, and we membrane filtered, then we used isocratic mode in HPLC forest, quantifying glucose, sucrose, and fructose. And pollen function, namely the pollen viability, was done using in a medium in which contains boric acid, sucrose, and potassium nitrate. And after 30 minutes, we just recorded how much number of pollens are germinated. We considered the pollen which was germinated as, if the pollen tube is twice the diameter of the pollen, then we considered that pollen as germinated one, and that we counted more than 200, and we converted express rate percentage. And for viability, we used TTC test or KI test to see if it gets stained. If it is a dark green or brown, then it indicates the pollen is viable. And the various yield and yield components, namely field pods, field side, and seed yield, and individual seed weight, was recorded at harvest. And this data were analyzed by using PROC GLM using SAS 9.1. Now coming to results, here the line which is in green color represent the OT optimum temperature 28-18, and the lines in red color shows effect of high temperature stress, that is 38-28. The top, the left top panel indicates the effect of high temperature stress on the chlorophyll content, and here the liquid membrane damage, and the lower left panel indicates this effect of a temperature stress on stomatal conductance, and the right one is photosynthetic rate. Here you can see high temperature stress decreases the chlorophyll content starting from 6 days after high temperature stress. And thylakoid membrane damage effect was observed from the start of the experiment, that is 2 days after stress to 14 days. Whereas stomatal conductance, the plant tend to show the variation on 6 days after high temperature stress, and photosynthetic rate also showed a variation from 2 days after high temperature stress. This was observed, but we are interested to know what is the mechanism underlying this principle. So we just took these anatomical works, and it is telling me that high temperatures stressed leaf having a higher leaf thickness. We can see the total leaf thickness is 207 in OT, whereas high temperature stressed leaf is 251. The main contribution of leaf thicknesses came from the lower epidermis and this upper epidermis, and this little variation from this palisade layer one thickness. And these, each data point is an average of five individual data points, and each data point is a replication of three. And we looked at the stomatal density. There is no variation in stomatal density, but there is a huge variation in the stomatal diameter. So the increase in the photosynthetic rate is came from the increase, or that is more surface area, the mesophyll area which is exposed, so more amount of CO2 can diffuse because it has more amount of stomatal diameter, which are occurring in the leaf anatomical levels, which are responsible for higher photosynthesis. Then we looked up what is happening at the ultrastructural changes. High temperature stress caused a damage to the plasma membrane, and this one is the plasma membrane. Here you can see in OT, there is the plasma membrane is intact, whereas in high temperature stress, you can see a damage to the plasma membrane. And also the number of cell organelles, this one is mitochondria and this one is chloroplast. And in OT, you can see many number of cell organelles and the size is high, whereas optimum temperature or high temperature, there is less number of cell organelles. Then we looked up what is the changes which is occurring in the cell organelles. You can see the optimum temperature, the chloroplast is intact. The envelope is not yet damaged. Whereas in high temperature, you can see the damage of the chloroplast. Then what happens to thylakoid membrane? Because we observed higher amount of F0 by FM ratio, we observed that at optimum temperature, the thylakoid membrane is compact and it is continuous, whereas in high temperature stress, it is discontinuous and it is dilated. Then again, we looked at what is happening to the mitochondria, because maintenance respiration will be higher in high temperature stress, and high temperature stress mitochondria showed that the cristae and matrix has been lost compared to optimum temperature. The C13 value of the leaf showed that high temperature stress stomates has heavily discriminated C13 value, so it has resulted in a lower amount of C13 value. The same thing was happened in the C2. And the leaf sucrose content and the leaf reducing sugars content showed that high temperature stress significantly reduced the sucrose content and significantly increased the reducing sugars. So which directly indicates that the reduction in the sucrose content is due to reduction in the photosynthesis, and the increase in the reducing sugars is required for the leaf to do higher amount of respiration, which is a must under high temperature stress. Then coming to the pollen function, we observed that high temperature stress causes a reduction in the pollen viability, and also in vitro pollen germination. The bar in the green color shows an effect of optimum temperature. The bar in red color shows effect of high temperature stress. Then we looked at what is the mechanism which is operating the pollen, which is responsible for reduction in the germination. And we found that optimum temperature pollen is round, oval, and it is not malformed, whereas high temperature stressed pollen is malformed. So the formation of the pollen itself is defective under high temperature stress. Then we looked at what happens to the metabolite content, that is whether the tapetum tissue is intact, whether the pollen is having a good nutrition for that should support the developing pollen tube. And we found that the optimum temperature pollen having a heavier amount of food reserves. These food reserves may be lipids, carbohydrates, or proteins. This intensity of this black color is directly proportional to the food resource because we are staining with uranyl acetate that will go and bind with the lipids and the proteins and carbohydrates. So it differentiates me that OT pollen, that is optimum temperature pollen, as a good food resource so that it can support the developing pollen tube. And again, we looked at what happens to the exin wall thickness, because this exin wall is developed from the tapetum layer. And if this layer is more thick, then the developing pollen tube cannot penetrate and cannot reach the stigma. And we found that high temperature stressed pollen has a thicker exin wall. And this tapetum layer, which is essential for that is a nurse tissue, which has to supplement, give food to the developing pollen. And we found that high temperature stress, the tapetum start to degenerate. And we all know that high temperature stress causes enhanced production of ROS. If the plant is having higher amount of reactive oxygen species, then it should feel the sense of PCD, programmed cell death. Again, we looked at what are the symptoms which are responsible for PCD. And we looked at, we have seen the condensation of the chromatin, which is a visible symptom, which is we can quantify using tunnel assay too. And the fragment defragmentation of the DNA. So these are all the two typical symptoms which are responsible for PCD, and we observed those two in the pollens. So the reduction of the photosynthesis is due to disintegration of the chloroplast membrane and the thylakoid membranes, and stomata diameter, and the loss of pollen viability and germination is due to exin wall thickness and disintegration of the tapetum layer. This has been reflected in reduced part set and reduction in the number of filled seeds and decrease in the seed size. Ultimately, you are getting a reduced seed yield and harvest index in soybeans. With that, I'd like to conclude my presentation. High temperatures during flowering soybean resulted in decreased photosynthetic rate. The reduced photosynthetic rate are at high temperatures due to ultrastructural changes in chloroplast, and high temperatures decreased pollen germination by changing exin wall thickness and disintegration of the tapetum layers. Hence, this study provides a physiological anatomical ultrastructural evidence for decreased photosynthesis and pollen function under high temperature stress. With that, I'd like to acknowledge my mentor, Dr. Bharat Prasad, for his critical comments on the experiment and the advice, and Dr. Dan Boyle for helping me in microscope work, and Dr. Praveen Vadlani for helping me in HPLC work, and Troy, PhD student of Prasad, for helping me in carbon isotope discrimination. I'd like to acknowledge Department of Agronomy, KSC, for funding. Thank you.
One question for you.
You presented a lot of fascinating information, and I appreciate that. A question I have is, if you measured the water potential of any of the tissues to confirm that you've actually separated and isolated high temperature stress without the covariate of changes in water potential.
Yes. I forgot to mention that during the stress period, the plant was continuously irrigated. The whole plant was maintained at 100% field capacity. We have not created any water stress. We have maintained full potential. So there is no question of difference in water potential. That may happen. I have seen many papers that water content of the leaf or the water potential will vary under high temperature stress. But I forget to mention that it was maintained at full field capacity.
Thank you.